everybody. Welcome back to your favorite. That was me doing my impression of Chan doing an impression of me.
I'm already disgusted.
I will allow that. No, that is fun then.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
It's like Ray and Chan TV's had sex with a Muppet. And then Ray and Chan both somehow birthed that Muppet baby.
So
to
wait,
be fair, if you were to ask Robert Clark Chan if I am in fact a Muppet, there is a 50-50 shot he will say yes.
No, like a 80-20.
All right, fair enough. Anyways, I'm sense. Ray Stakanis, and who are you two?
No. Because I was about to go off on just like a whole rant about felt biology, but you stepped on me, so I'm not even gonna tell everybody what my name is.
Well, you're Gina Ippolito, and I'm sick of this.
Welcome, audience, who did not want a half hour dichotomy of felt biology.
I think that's the only reason our audience is listening to us at this point.
Really?
Well,
we've got a niche audience.
I got really good news. This is the 9-year anniversary. Knowing is half the podcast.
No.
Wait, 9? No. I don't think that's right.
9. We started July 4th of 2015.
How
and
we,
here we are.
Did we pass over 8 years? What is time speeding up? Are we in a
yes.
curse? Is there a curse on us right now that the more we podcast, the shorter our lives become because time speeds up?
Gina, I have been in Los Angeles for 16 years now, and I hadn't done the math until just very recently, and it hurts my soul. But it's not even that. Here is the real truth of it. We're getting old, and the older you get, the faster time goes, because death is creeping up on you, and much like a Marvel zombie running app, you can't escape it. You can try and run your 5K, but the zombies are going to get you in the end.
Listen, I'm not getting old. I still look exactly the same as I did in pictures from 10 years ago.
Yeah,
you guys have seen
untrue.
It. Yeah. I ran a 5K this morning. Y'all are getting old. This is going to be like fucking Benjamin Button, where you guys are hunched over little old men, and Chan looks at me and he's like, what did Gina do to us? And I'm going to be like, easy. 9 years ago, I sold both of your souls to the devil to keep myself looking young.
This checks out.
Now you know.
A lot of this.
It's really the only legitimate reason she's still on this show. and I would like to correct one thing about Chan. I hate to be the fact checker, but since it's needed in this world, more so than you could ever believe, Chan, it's not that she wanted to do the 5K. She had to do the 5K.
Oh, yes. Gina had to do it. I forgot.
Yeah.
Those are the words that she used, and we have to respect that. That in her world, that's how things operate.
Yes.
You guys don't know how I make my money.
If there's a
that is a fact.
If there's an opportunity to be martyred, Gina's right there. And there's no options.
I'm a joiner. None. What can I say? It's the only thing that can explain why 9 years ago, Chan and a guy I'd never met said, do you want to be the token chick on some podcast? And I said, yes. And then stuck with it for 9 years. I'm a joiner.
Now, here's the thing I'm going to say right now. How many jobs have you actually gotten as a direct result of this podcast? Is that number more or less than 5 at this point?
Listen, when you compare the opportunity cost to how many hours I've spent podcasting,
wow. Economics now.
I'm like a fucking kid in a sweatshop here because...
because if you ask me that same question, it's not going to be like more or less than 5. It's like more or less than 0, because how many opportunities have I lost? Because like you do a podcast about cartoons as a grown man. Like, I'm sorry, sir. This is a Wendy's.
Listen, you're the ones living life wrong. You're the ones doing things wrong.
I just open up by saying I'm the host of the Who Would Win show. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then people are like, that's worse. That's somehow worse.
Look, I'm not going to all I'm going to say is that I keep getting notifications about patrons adding themselves. And I'm like, Jesus, what are we doing? Where's our money? Look, I shouldn't complain because we just got that Kickstarter for those big old G.I. Joe books.
Yes, we did.
Beautiful. And there's no way that I would have. There's no way I could have convinced anybody in this house to let me spend $350 on G.I. Joe comics in any way, shape, or form.
It's a tax write-off, man. It's a tax write-off.
And, yeah. And I have big news for the show. Because of your Patreon support, and I know we don't give you as much back as I wish we did, but because of your Patreon support, I believe we're going to have an opportunity now that we will all own the G.I. Joe comic books, 1 through 155, I think it is. We might be able to have a chance to talk about the actual comics on the show at some point in the future. But also, we use part of your Patreon money, and by we, I mean me. They have not arrived yet, but I have completed my entire 20-book collection of G.I. Joe Find Your Fate. They haven't arrived yet. I will have had them all. I will take a picture for the people at home. And I have commitments from Gina Ippolito and Robert Clark Chan that we will do more Find Your Fate books on the show. I have that in writing.
You better be buried with those books. I'm telling you now, you need to put that in your will that you want to be buried with your whole collection.
Like the pharaohs of old.
Yeah. And bring my cats with me too.
No, leave the cats out. Bring the books. Leave the cannoli.
Anyway, that is all the exciting news of the Knowing It's Half the Podcast. We're doing July 4th. We're doing some spectacular America stuff to celebrate July 4th, our birthday of the show. That's not a coincidence. I thought it would be a fun thing to do. And we always remember.
Yeah. 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 Look,
we dropped first five episodes, July 4th, 2015.
That's horrifying.
And the first five episodes were the Pyramid of Darkness. That's the other thing I think is weird. We didn't even start at the very beginning. What are we doing?
I mean, honestly, Pyramid of Darkness is the archetypal G.I. Joe story. It's got everything G.I. Joe is encapsulated in those five episodes.
That's great. And it's also the beginning of season one of the TV show. So it makes sense in its own weird way. But we're doing Yankee Doodle Cricket today.
Yeah.
Robert Clark Chan, this is a Chuck Jones 1975. So it's very much in the animated style of Bugs Bunny.
Oh,
in
fact, someone Mel did Blanc, his homework for once.
This is just stuff I know. I didn't even have to look this up.
Yeah, no.
I've been watching Chuck Jones since I was, I wasn't even born yet in 1975. I was probably still watching.
And it starts out with friggin' Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc. So
you see Chuck Jones' art, you hear Bugs Bunny's voice, you're like, oh, okay, I'm in. Like, I may have to learn something, but goddammit, I'm in.
When I started watching this, I was like, oh, I've seen this. And then I realized that, no, this is the same trio that's in like a 22-minute movie type thing that I watch almost every Christmas called A Cricket in Times Square. It's so lovely. And it also has like a message of, like people in New York are, it's a very sort of typical Christmas story of like people in New York are sort of grumpy and separated and there's a hustle and bustle and the cricket saves the day with his music because he starts playing into a microphone in Times Square and everyone sort of pauses and listens to his Christmas music and they all like, a little tear falls from a little girl's eye or something. But this is, I love these. I think these are the only two that feature this trio, but I love them so much. Every voice is so good. The animation is so good. Chuck Jones is so good. There's even like June Foray is in this. She only has like one line, but as soon as you hear her voice, you're like, June Foray, that's her.
It's Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Yeah, it's just It's just great. I love it. Like,
this was the follow-up to the one that you just talked about, just for the
which, are you sure you're not just thinking of that Michigan J Frog cartoon? Because that sounds like what you just pitched there.
What Michigan J Frog sings with a cricket in Times Square?
Hello, like, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, sure my ragtime girl.
But I was surprisingly into this trio because, I mean, okay, full disclosure, I chose this because I'm like, oh God, it's 4th of July. All 4th of July cartoons are shit. This one's going to be shit. And it's just going to be what it's going to be. And I enjoyed those characters. You are correct. They're like,
yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
I'm glad to hear it. Also, you know, I just dropped Cricket in Times Square. We should definitely do it this Christmas.
Done.
Because we haven't done it before. But I will say that, like, you know, yes, there are history lessons throughout this, which normally I'm like, why are you trying to make me learn anything? But there's one thing that I'll say as someone who worked on, I won't say which of the shows that I've worked on, but it was a kids show where an executive, I won't say what executive, hopefully this individual never listens to this podcast. An executive literally said, kids don't know who Betsy Ross is. You guys need to take this reference out. And literally the writer's response in the room was, only kids know who Betsy Ross is. Like, that's who's learning about Betsy Ross. It's not like a 40-year-old that's like, oh, yes, Betsy Ross sewed the flag. It's like in fucking kindergarten, they're like, hey, you know who sewed the flag? Betsy Ross. Let's spend the next 2 weeks learning about her. And this is like, this cartoon has so many references that I was like, do I get that reference? Is that a reference? And I just love that Bugs Bunny is like this too. I mean, it has like opera in it and jokes that like no fucking kid would get and only smart adults would get, like, let's be honest. And they still just put it in there unapologetically. Like, there are some very solid jokes in here and a couple that I looked up.
One thing I wish that those Bugs Bunny cartoons would do, and they never did in that opera episode, explain who that attractive female bunny is. Because they just appear and, you know, they're lovely and then they disappear and there's no trace of them and there's no explanation. It blows my mind.
I would honestly not be surprised if we suddenly learned that that is who Ray Jerked it to until he was like 35 when someone was like, you know, that's a dude, right? And he was like,
Wait, what?
What?
Wait a minute. Whoa, what? I don't understand.
The cartoon is called What's Opera Doc, not The Crying Game. And... ain't nothing wrong with that.
So we open Yankee Doodle Cricket.
For Ray's response.
Did we all come up with the same bit? Let's find out. It's brought to us by Xerox Films, which is a bummer because it's probably just a copy of some other movie.
Oh God! Oh my God! I regret every decision in my life that brought me here.
I'm so happy with that one.
Just so
they should give me the Daily Show. Anyway.
Green.
Like you all weren't thinking it. Please.
Absolutely was not.
What's wrong with you people? Anyway, we're at the city, New York City. The music is really weird off the top here. I didn't ask for a sound pull, so of course I'm going to ask for one right now. Why does the music sound so wrong and off in the beginning? Is it just sound quality? Weird.
Just sound quality.
Yeah. No, I mean, this at the very end, you see like film stock at the back of it. So they got this off of film that was probably shown to like 800,000 elementary school kids before being chucked into a closet somewhere and being pulled out. So, like, yeah, it's all warped.
It's all...
Yeah, don't worry about it, man.
Like, if that was a choice, it would be like a Tim Burton movie.
Yes, but it's just... the nature not, of media to degrade.
I have a confession to make about this. This is about to be a Chan and Gina versus Ray episode because I found this to be dreadfully boring. Very not fun to watch, despite great voice acting, great animation, great characters. Nothing really happens in this. It's very
just the American dry and boring. Revolution.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't a big deal.
Is Ray saying that he wants less learning in his cartoons?
I mean, less learning's good. I like that. Prefer to learn nothing, quite honestly. I learn enough in my day-to-day activities. I'm having to learn so much in my new position every day that less learning in my cartoons is appreciated.
Be honest, you were confused by a lot of this, weren't you?
What do you mean confused? I am aware of the story of America, and that's fine. And the long game, I think Britain did win because U.S. TV shows now only air like 8 episodes a season.
I think that why you didn't like this is because it reminded you that not only white dudes formed America, okay? And it's there time for this cat, mouse, fucking
cricket
erasure to end.
I will say, coming from my lefty perspective, part of the reason why I enjoyed this was because I was essentially watching a
white
pack
dudes
of lies
be incompetent
sold to American children, going like, "That's not how it happened. That is not." And this is all propaganda, but it's like, it's sweet propaganda. It's propaganda brought to us by Bugs Bunny himself.
I think the fact that every dude in this, every old white dude, is severely incompetent, really made me giggle. Like, one dude is fucking drunk as shit.
Paul Revere.
Another guy.
It wasn't Paul Revere.
No, it was the guy that Paul Revere tasked with. Yeah. That was tasked with lighting the lanterns. But another guy is barely literate and can't write anything. It's basically a version of Cyrano de Bergerac if Cyrano was an animal.
Wait, Ratatouille for America.
Damn it, Ray, you made a dumber reference than I made.
I think mine's on point.
It's not.
Literally, a rat is in this writing the Declaration of Independence.
First of all, rats and mice are different, you fucking racist.
They're different, too. Just for the record.
So now you're just going to step in and shit on Gina's dialect, are you? You classist.
I almost just
I'm punching up by pointing out Gina's class. What are we talking about?
I almost just spit out my water. I'm glad we all like this, except for Ray, who was confused by it.
I wasn't confused by it. I just didn't think it moved fast enough. And I know it's a cartoon from 1975, and there's a certain speed that is not going to come with cartoons from 1975. And I generally enjoy 70s cartoons that take it a little bit slower. Look, I'm a huge Lupin the Third fan, and that's what that is.
Can we get to the actual recap of this, please?
No.
Instead of Ray's confused questions about America.
Ray, you must understand that this is not intended for entertainment purposes. This is shit that the sub plays when the teacher is out sick.
And you know what? Right? You would have eaten that shit up. You would have been like, oh my God, we get to watch a fucking movie and it's great.
Oh shit, Bugs Bunny's voice is the main character here? Hell yeah.
I must have watched this in schools. Right?
This has everything that everything that makes a good substitute teacher movie. There's music, there's a little bit of learning, and there's some gags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's also very trippy, too. Some of these opening scenes, they're going through some very darkly, weirdly, you know, animated and drawn areas that is very much out of the 1970s viewpoint. Oh, yeah.
This is like, we can't afford rotoscoping, but we'll make it look basically like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it was crazy. So we meet our three characters. We have Tucker Randolph Mouse, who I believe Tucker Carlson is actually named after. So that's interesting. We have Harry Cat.
Fucker Harlson.
That's right. That's Gina's website, Twitter. He's on there now. So Harry Cat, which is a great name, and Chester Cricket is the third of our trifecta of animals who are learning about history, because Tucker Randolph Mouse has discovered, and he's very excited. He's rushing to tell all his friends about this, that a mouse, he just keeps saying, it's incredible. It's incredible. A mouse wrote the Declaration of Independence. Excuse me, interdependence, but you get it.
We flash back to this famous mouse who's trying to basically write the Declaration of Independence, but for him it's between cats and mice, and it's and it's a really good bit. And then meanwhile, the first incompetent man that we see is also trying to write the Declaration of Independence, and there's a great bit. There's a great visual bit. I mean, first of all, the idea that a mouse is like, oh, we cats and mice, we are created equal. Like, that's a good bit. But then we also get a fun visual gag, which is we see the famous George Washington portrait by Gilbert Stuart, famously unfinished, the bottom of which is unfinished. And like, you know, no one knows what it would have looked like on the bottom, and written on it, it says, Tom, best regards, George, in the portion that's unfinished. And I was like, that's a fucking great joke. And also, again, not one that kids would get. They don't know that this portrait, which is actually called the Athenaeum portrait, is unfinished and doesn't have anything in the lower portion. And they don't know that it wasn't actually signed in the most, casual way between these two famous men. Like as if George, I love the idea also that George Washington gave him a portrait of himself and signed
hold
it.
Hold on.
That's real gangsta shit right there.
I want to check in with Ray right now, because there's a whole lot of larning going on. I want to make sure that he's okay.
Oh, no. First off, there's no way Gina knew all that off the top of her head. She's obviously reading off of a card or something.
Mm-hmm.
The Athenaeum, please. And the fact that you keep referring to him as some stupid guy, that's Thomas Jefferson, who wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah,
what?
Pretty famously.
What? That's the Tom in Tom, best regards, George?
It's not...
Then who's the George, sir? George Wendt from Cheers?
No, it's George Wallace. Everybody knows that.
Should I have gone Costanza? I like that they make Tommy Tom incompetent. He also runs through some famous phrases, and Harry Cat is like disgusted by him.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of. He's just ripping off the tag phrases of a whole lot of other presidents, you know, walk softly, carry a big stick, you know, I have nothing to fear but fear itself. And I thought that was a pretty solid bit, mainly because I recognized at least half of them. And that was nice.
Good for you, Ray.
I like to imagine that Ray was like, I know that from Breaking Bad. It's just quotes he's heard from TV shows and didn't realize were historical.
Oh, yeah. When Thomas Jefferson says, you're the smartest man I know. But she had to know. How's that quote go? I don't know. The point I'm trying to make here is, if I would have nailed that, that would have been perfect. That's my point.
Yeah.
Anyway, all cats and mice are created evil. Equal. All right. He refers to himself as Tucker Randolph Mouse Esquire, which I thought was fun.
Mouse lawyer. What's wrong with that?
It's fine. He wrote, you know, his thing, and then the cat, Harry Cat, steals the page, gives it to Thomas Jefferson, or leaves it in place there. Is Thomas Jefferson, like, going to come back and be like, did I write this? That I didn't understand.
I listen, if there's one thing we know about white men, it's they do not ask questions when other people's work is presented as their own. Right. That dude 100% came back from taking a big crap, read that, looked around and was like, I totally wrote this.
This
and then he said it louder 10 more times until he convinced himself he wrote it.
This is what's known as failing upwards for white people, Ray.
Listen, having had a lot of experience, and I'm about to fail upwards again. This is the craziest thing. We'll talk off air.
Not me. I'm going to bed after this.
Well, no, me and Chan will for at least a minute before he hangs up on me.
Yes, because I definitely want to hear stories about how your entitlement gets you more free shit.
It's amazing, you guys. If you're just a white guy, you keep failing upwards. It's one. Why don't you guys do this?
One of my favorite early memories of SNL is the sketch where Eddie Murphy puts on makeup and pretends to be a white guy, and then
he does the white face. I love that. I saw that in school.
The scene where like he just goes to the newsstand and he gets a paper, and he goes like, "Go on, take it. Go, take it. He's just gonna like shoes him away. It's burned into my mind.
I love it when he gets on the bus and then the one black guy gets off the bus and then it turns into a speakeasy. That sketch is, if you guys don't know this, this is a sketch from the 80s, probably before a lot of you were alive. If you don't know the Eddie Murphy wears white face sketch from Saturday Night Live, it is one of the best things Saturday Night Live has ever done. The Eddie Murphy year or two that he was there are just hot. Saved the show.
Listen, can I just say,
no,
I just glanced through my notes and I'm not the for a look at how the sausage is made. Tonight is the night of the debates. I did not watch them. I already know who I'm voting for and it would just stress me out. It's the first time I haven't watched the presidential debates. But there's no way in hell I was watching that train wreck, which by all accounts on social media, it is a train wreck. And I just looked through my notes for this cartoon that I watched earlier tonight. And I wrote, I'd vote for this mouse and cat for president and vice president. And I think that now, after the debates have happened, that is even more apt. Give us this goddamn cat and mouse and I will vote for them.
The problem is that voting for Trump is basically like voting for a cat and a mouse, and people did it. They
you
fucking
shut
did
your
it,
mouth.
And that's what happens.
You shut your mouth. This cat and this mouse save American democracy in this cartoon.
You know for a GD fact that if this cartoon continued, you would find out that they also started the January 6th of their day.
they're going to get milkshake ducked.
They're going to get milkshake ducked without question. Like this is just the hagiography part of it. We don't get to see the sad later years where the once brilliant orator and or comedian starts in weird anti-trans shit and then makes it their main thing.
The cat is going to get Me Too'd and the mouse is going to get caught on camera singing uncensored versions of rap songs.
I mean, all of this holds up to me.
That cricket diddled a bunch of kids.
Not the cricket.
Yeah, no, I hate to say it, but
and it played Yankee Doodle with its legs while it did it. It was really uncomfortable.
Oh, that kid could never listen to a happy fiddle song again. It equates fiddling with diddling.
God damn it.
Started texting with Millie Bobby Brown Beetle or something. Just gross.
Anyway, we meet the Don't Tread on Me snake.
God, I love this snake.
What?
I did not care for this snake. Was like Joe Biden in the debate tonight. Came in sick. Never got better.
Listen, I asked Chan to pull a quote from this for me.
These are the times that try snake souls.
Gotta make sure to get
that sneeze in.
Yeah, you're right. It did. This is a Thomas Paine quote again. Another thing. no kid is like, oh, that's from The American Crisis by Thomas Paine, but it's a snake. I like the fact that he replaced men's with snakes. I like it.
That's all it took, huh?
I like it. He's sick. He's like sick. No,
I do think it's funny that he's the first libertarian. The snake is.
I think sick snake is a good character, like an easy to get character. A sick, tired old snake that's just like, don't tread on me. And then it becomes the flag. And then when they sew that flag, he's like, it's not very good, dude. I'm like, hell yeah, grumpy old snake, give it to me.
I'm sort of with Ray, like the modern version of don't tread on me has left a really bad taste in their mouth.
I know.
Like, ugh, but yuck.
Yeah. That original picture, was it the Ben Franklin or whatever with the snake cut up into 13 pieces for the 13 colonies, and this is what they're going to try to do us? Like, that's evocative. That means something to me. Much in the same way, the Gadsden flag means I'm an idiot, and a loud one at that, in the year 2024 and before. So whenever I come across this, I go, oh no, a buffoon.
Yeah.
Someone who peaked in seventh grade and never grew after that point. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't want that.
Yeah, you're expecting one of us to jump in and save you.
No one's jumping in to save me. I'm going to have to keep doing this.
Gina's already fallen asleep. You know, she had to do that 5K, and that just, like, wiped her out.
She had to, man. There was no getting around it. They came to her house and arrested her.
Mm-hmm. Then sadly eaten by zombies.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages. Nobody beats G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe, super, super. Introducing the ultimate warrior. The G.I. Joe Super Trooper. There's only one way to get him. Send 4 Super Trooper certificates and a $1 handling charge. See details on specially marked packages for your Super Trooper, the ultimate warrior. Nobody beats G.I. Joe, a real American hero. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
And this is where they talk about how unfair British taxes are. Like, yo, what if there was a cheese tax?
The cheese tax.
You gotta play the cheese tax.
I watch so many shitty goddamn memes now because of my kid. We call them silly dog videos in this house.
Why do I know that song? Is that a kid's thing?
I mean, it's like a meme.
All like memes are kids. Videos.
You gotta pay the cheese tax. How do I even know that?
What have you? Do you have the internet, Gina?
I don't know. What is the internet?
Oh boy, I see why you're not getting that work at the. Those pitches aren't working out for you. So I just discovered this thing. It's called the internet. Now, you executives may not know what I'm talking about.
Okay, but I've seen it a lot on TikTok. People on TikTok put videos of their dogs and set this to them as they eat their cheese and then give some to their dog. I don't know what the original video is, but I've seen it all over TikTok.
I've never seen this or heard of this before, and I have just now watched it, and what a delight. what a delightful meme. Highly suggested.
Absolutely a thing that you show to your, you know, 6-year-old kid, and then they're just singing it around the house all day, and you gotta pay the cheese tax.
1 year ago, 4.1 million.
So did we just find out that this TikTok meme originated in this 1975 Chuck Jones animated special?
I mean, it must have.
Stole it from him.
And this is where they say, cricket, we got a flag, we got a Declaration of Independence, and you gotta give us a song. Give us a national anthem, cricket. And he plays what? God Save the Queen?
Yeah, he doesn't, listen, to be fair, they say to him, do you have an anthem? They don't specify.
He's like,
and
yeah.
He does have an anthem, it's just the wrong country's anthem.
Another response was just like, no.
I mean, honestly, it's another good bit that they're like, that in their minds, they're like, hey, we're going to start a revolution, but they don't give him any context. And they're, I mean, this is the problem with when you have an executive that's not properly giving the proper notes on a TV show and they just assume you know what they're talking about. You come out
with an executive having bad notes for a TV show because they're not actually creative.
You come out with God Save the Queen.
Yeah, I thought he was just should have done Stairway to Heaven. That would have been a much bigger anthem, like a rock anthem.
Like a Tommy type situation there.
Oh, that would have been great if he played Tommy. Mm. I would have liked that. Anyway, he ends up switching it up and playing Yankee Doodle. And they actually, I thought it was kind of cool. They break down the lyrics because there's, I've been singing that song since I was a little kid. They teach it to us in school, blah, blah, blah. And you just sing it. You don't think about it. And it was always like, why do they call it macaroni? Never really thought about it before.
Yeah. Like it's one of those things that as a kid, you never question.
No, it's just these are the lyrics. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. I don't know. This is talking about the Black Death. I don't care. You know, whatever.
Yep.
You know, I'm listening to, you know, as I'm singing along to Bawa Taba, the bangy bang, diggy, diggy, diggy.
Called it macaroni.
Boogie, hop, drop the boogie. I'm not worried about what those words mean or who he voted for. I'm just getting into the funk, man.
I went looking because, like, yes, I know, you know, it's Yankee Doodle was originally meant as a song to mock and belittle Americans, blah, blah, blah. And they took it and made their own, the Manhattan macaroni, fashion choices and whatnot. And so I was, like, looking at, like, articles. I was sort of struck by the last line was, like, and with the girls be handy. And I'm like, they're talking about fucking... why do they keep, like, why is this such of the things that Americans do? They're loud, they're boorish, they're stupid, and they're like, what, like sexual assaulters or something? And there was none of the articles touched that line. They just like, hey, did you know that this song was originally meant to be, you know, stupid Americans and we made our own song? Yay! Ignore the last part. So I'm still curious just what they're talking about with the last line.
Yeah, and according to this article from the Kennedy Center, I think the good one, not the brainworms one, that Yankee Doodle...
They both have worms in their brain now, by the way.
You know what? That is that is a point I cannot argue with. That is a factually correct point. The best type of correct. a doodle is referred to as a country hick. So they're Yankee Doodle. Keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. A dandy is a conceited jerk. Nobody knows where the term Yankee came from. It's a baseball team. Doy. You know, these idiots don't know anything. Yeah. And this is where it all came from. Good job, everybody. It was a song meant to mock Americans who thought they were so smart coming to a big land with lots of resources and then taking over the world and then eventually crumbling like the Roman Empire.
And just checking, has Kennedy Center mentioned anything about with girls be handy?
I'm trying to find it up here. Let me just do a control F and look up the word handy. There is one reference and it unfortunately does not refer to what handy means because that is the lyric itself in the very first place.
Inquiring minds want to know. I want to know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Nobody, so anyway. Nobody remembers the TV commercial for the National Enquirer that aired in the 80s constantly? Just me? Just me?
No, I'm with you there. I'm actually just looking because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16 verses to Yankee Doodle.
Jesus. I had no idea.
And I'm sorry, one of them is the refrain, the chorus.
Sure. That's 15 left.
And there we see 1,000 men as rich as Squire David, and what they wasted every day. I wish it could be saved. Yankee Doodle, keep it. I don't know what any of that means. And there was Captain Washington, a gentle folks about him. They say he's grown so tarnal proud, and he will not ride without him. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. I don't know.
Yeah, this is what you call topical humor.
You know, folks listening to this podcast in the 1770s are riling it up right now. I'm going to tell you that right now. They are into this.
I believe if people from the 18th century were to be brought forward today and shown a podcast, they would have gone back and said, don't bother.
Yeah, until they hear a British podcast, stinko.
There's nothing. It's just going to be a big god-awful mess. Don't even, let's just stay British.
The only thing that the Brits put less money into than podcasting is Doctor Who. Am I right?
How dare you? Nobody likes you, Ray.
Sometimes they're for me, folks. Sometimes they're just for me. Okay, so one thing that really bothered me here is the animation of the cat and the mouse marching, because the cat raises both its left side paws and then both of its right side paws and looks like Shelob the spider.
He's marching.
It looks weird. I don't like it. It's like when Muppet legs are seen. I don't like it.
You don't get to tell cats how to march. They do their own thing.
I've seen cats, you know, walk. That's not how it works. Their entire right side of their body does not fly up in the air, and then their left side of the body flies up in the air. It's weird looking.
You know another thing cats don't do? They don't talk, and they don't fucking move the independence movement of the United States of America forward. You know what they do? Fucking drum solos.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, you goddamn right. We're going to play the entire drum solo.
This is going to be like
the fucking, that's the part of the concert where they're just going to let the drummer go. And if you're like Tommy Lee, you know, they're going to strap you in, you're going to go upside down and just get crazy. But I will always break for drum solos.
I love a good animals playing each other and nature to make music happen.
Yeah.
Sequence. It's a good sequence.
And it turns out that in real life, turtles don't make very good drums at all. Fun fact.
I don't want to know why you know that.
Mistakes were made.
I don't want to know.
Let's see.
Are we
okay,
to the so moment where the cricket members gets of our fucking team eaten?
Now. We're not there yet.
Okay,
we're getting close.
Can we get there?
We're almost there. I just want to say this plot is just all over the place. It's just, we're just going to hit this. It doesn't really connect to each other. Who cares? All three of our heroic animals are now going to split up to share the song of Yankee Doodle with the country and let them all feel very patriotic about it. And it leads to one of the most boring musical numbers in the history of animation.
How dare you?
Can we hear a little bit? Because this is not a banger.
What? It's fucking Yankee Doodle. What do you expect?
I expect more. He never heard the song before.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yawn, not a banger.
It's goddamn
Yankee Doodle.
All right,
you can do Yankee Doodle.
I sent the picture that I tried to send earlier and we had to cut out because it took like an hour for me to find the thing.
But check after the theme song and you'll hear more.
What is that?
That is a queen bee, obviously. She's a hot bee with furry boobs. I don't know what's going on here. She's wearing a tank top.
It's
and
concerning. And she's singing She's singing like a court song.
Ever in all your born life see anything as cute and as too much as that little old cotton-picking grasshopper foot?
like she's a bee who wants to fuck a grasshopper, which, you know, like, hey, miscegenation, I'm all for it. But it's just weird that just out of nowhere, this weirdly hot bee just like is just talking.
It is weird that she never comes back either. Like, especially because in the Wikipedia page, it's like, hey, look at this, June Foray as Queen Bee. And I was like, oh, she's a main character. And then she gets this one line. We never see her again. And it really feels like at some point they hired June Foray and then wrote the story and they were like, oh, crap. We wrote it for three dudes. What do we do? And then they were like, I don't know, put in a sexy bee. And they were like, all right, we only have 15 seconds left in this cartoon that to fill. All right, just let June Foray be a horny bee. And then this was all that they could afford to put in.
No, there was an animator that was like, at last my time has come. I have like hives in my backyards because I can't get enough of sexy bees, and I'm finally going to get to put it on to film. This is my moment to shine. Buzz, buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody cared a lot to put this in this particular production. It's weird. This is for a program that's all over the place. This is a place it went. Let's get now to, in my mind, the highlight, the best part of this entire thing. And that's when the cricket is out trying to share his music. He gets eaten by a frog, and this eagle steps in like Ron goddamn Swanson and Rambo had a kid, and I love him. I want this speech.
I mean, he goes to some hardcore places that are weird for a kid's cartoon, and I like it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm only going to play it because we need to talk about it.
Yeah. Now then, friend frog. That is an American citizen you are holding in your mouth bone. As I see it, you have a choice in this matter. Either you can restore that cricket's civil liberties, or you can get yourself opened up without anesthesia.
Why, thank you, Mr. Frog.
Opened up without anesthesia, and he like runs his finger down the his fingernail down the frog's belly. That is hardcore for a kid's cartoon, and I wish that there was more violence today in kids' cartoons. Yeah. This is why this generation is fucking soft.
Look, Dirty Harry came out in 1971, and it was clearly still part of the mentality, because that's what he's doing right there, is the "Do you feel lucky, punk?" speech. But from an eagle to a frog who still has a cricket in its mouth. And like, I woke up when that guy started talking. I was like, I will follow you anywhere.
Also, then this happens.
Appears to me, friend Cricket, you could stand a little protection.
That is a mafiosa pressing someone for protection money. What the absolute fuck is happening?
No, that's not how they do it. That's not how they do it. As the only one here who knows how the mafia works.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to finish the rest of that sentence.
No. You absolutely committed to it. So I need to hear from you, Gina Ippolito, how in Boonton Township, the mafia would come to a mom and pop organization, say, a nice little bakery, and squeeze them.
Listen, it's friendly. It's all friendly.
He's friendly. This eagle's friendly as fuck.
It's a chat among friends.
He says friend multiple times.
Look, The Godfather also had come out not too long before. Before this was made as well, clearly still in the zeitgeist. And what's amazing about what just happened on this show is Chan started talking about The Godfather and Gina fell over herself to defend Italian Americans, and I knew it would happen, and it was it was wonderful to see. Just
listen,
wonderful.
Listen.
Gina was like watching this and going, Papa?
Listen, friends. I'm about to come to your house and offer you some fucking protection.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's That's what just happened on the show. Anyway, let's get over to another amazing part, which is Paul Revere. Because now we've just switched. We've lost the thread completely as far as the Yankee Doodle song goes. And now we need to help Paul Revere warn people that the British were coming. Or as certain Congress people on the right would say, or I believe Sarah Palin was actually the person who said it. Paul Revere was warning both the Americans and the British what was going on. So who knows? Who knows what happened back then? Could have been. I trust this more than I trust Sarah Palin, honestly.
All I know is that there was a horsey named Paul Revere. There was just a horse and a quart of beer. The Paul Revere was riding across the land, kicking up sand. The sheriff's posse was on sale because he was in demand.
And a lot of people are this wrong. Paul Revere was
one
the name
only
of the
beastie I be all by myself without nobody. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air was getting hot. The beer was getting flat.
I really thought he was done, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you
never, never.
Never.
Should have saved him. We should have saved him. We didn't.
Please. By all means.
So Paul Revere is about to make his famous ride, warning that the British are coming. And he's one if by land, two if by sea, like the lights in the tower. Okay. But the guy is so unbelievably drunk. One bad job, Paul Revere. You got to find somebody else at this point. This dude is incoximated.
Listen, you can't just be telling everyone your secrets. You don't know who's loyal to the British. Like he picked out this guy probably weeks ago and probably was like, okay, I know this guy. He's my wife's second cousin's uncle. And I've really vetted him. I've done all the paperwork that's necessary to figure out that he is not loyal to the British. And then this motherfucker just goes and gets drunk. Paul Revere doesn't have time to do all the background checks necessary to find another lantern lighter.
I mean, that's a very, very fair point. But I mean, if he is who he said, you knew he was a drunkle walking in the door. You know what I'm saying?
There were a lot of drunks back then. There's not too many to choose from.
You can't drink.
Dude,
water.
I got weird news. I got weird information about the year 2024. There's a lot of drunks now too.
Yeah, but back then, like they didn't even drink water. It wasn't even like I'm just gonna have like they drank booze when they needed to drink anything. Haven't you seen shows, historically accurate shows like House of the Dragon, where every time they're drinking, it's wine?
It's true. Or blood. Or
I've now found my reason to get a time machine.
Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Go back.
Thing. It'd be like if you could only, there was no water, your taps only poured Natty Light.
Now I'm getting snobby. At least I know they have Sam Adams because he was a brewer and a patriot.
He was from Minnesota?
So I'll get some of that. Get some of that Oktoberfest. Yum, yum.
He told a little story that sounded well rehearsed. What is on the run and that he's dying of thirst. The brew was in my hand and he was on my tip. His voice was sort of throat was dry. He asked me for a sip.
I'm not going to lie. This is actually kind of impressive.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. But I do wall-to-wall insane clown posse renditions, and I'm the heretic weirdo. Yeah, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Anyway, this leads us to the most interesting, memorable point of the entire cartoon, and I still can't believe this was in here.
I want you to play this entire thing from those time codes that I requested.
Should we set it up first? Because I don't know if it's going to make sense without the visuals.
Okay. It goes on for so long, and that is why I want everyone to hear the full thing. Basically, Cricket Man is like, oh crap, this guy's too drunk to light the lights. He's not going to do it. So he gets his two friends, a married couple, lightning bugs, Mr. and Mrs. Lightning Bug. And he goes up and he says, okay, if they come by land, one if by land, one of you light up your butt. If they come by sea, two if by sea, two of you light up your butt. So then we see the British in the in the sea, and it's like, hey, light up both your butts. Mrs. Lightning Bug is able to very easily and very quickly light up her butt. And then this is what happens when Mr. Lightning Bug tries to light up his butt.
John.
Marshall.
Two if I see.
John.
Marshall.
He's unable to light his butt.
John.
Marshall. Marshall. Marsha. Marsha.
John.
So what you're not seeing there is that Mr. Lightning Bug can't light up his butt. He's having performance issues.
Insectile dysfunction, we call it.
And then God, Mrs. Lightning Bug is like, John, because she's obviously upset that he can't get his dick light up. And then he's like, Marsha, and he's trying really hard. He's getting red in the face. He's making like noises that you would make if you can't poop or can't get your dick up. And then they just keep going back and forth. John, Marsha, he's trying harder and harder. And then finally, she's like, I know what'll get that dick light hard. And she goes over and she snuggles up to him. And she's like, ooh, John. And he's like, Marsha. And then that twinkle sound that you hear is him getting a light boner. And then they orgasm.
It's what's known as the hot tui.
We're going there.
That's an internet reference I get.
Oh, well. I'm sorry. Anybody who listens to this episode a day late, because we're literally recording on Thursday, we're going to drop this the next day on Friday. If you listen to it on Saturday, you will have no idea what I'm talking about, because the internet memes will have gone through their cycle and the hot Tua girl will never be heard from again,
or she'll get milkshake ducked.
Possibly.
And then back in that's the only way to extend your internet fame is to do something real cool. I just showed my brother the It's Corn Kid, which is several years old, but he had never seen it. I love the It's Corn Kid. But you know, if he had gotten milkshake ducked, that eight-year-old boy, if he had gotten milkshake ducked, he could have extended his internet life.
He could have. Well, hopefully he'll get hooked on drugs, and then like we'll get a mugshot of him when he's like 24.
I mean, I think the funniest thing for him to do would be to wait 20 years and then recreate the video as a young man of 28.
Uh-huh. That's a terrible idea.
And so Paul Revere goes on his magical journey after seeing he finally gets it up. It's shocking. It is shocking that this is in a children's cartoon that would air in schools. And it goes on. The bit goes on as long as it does. At first, the horse doesn't want to go, so we use violence on the horse in the form of a cat's claw to the rear end. Cartoons were made different back then, everybody.
Better.
People used to be a lot meaner than they are now.
No, this is just like when they would slap a horse on the bum.
Yeah, do they still do that? I'm just saying you wouldn't put that in a cartoon these days.
Listen, I would put anything I fucking wanted into a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. That's produced? True. It's the other side of the coin.
I will say that when you do... get your pitch greenlit. I would like to do the music. I've got some thoughts.
And what would you?
Yeah, when is
you
Horse
do?
Violence the cartoon coming out?
No, I got the gun and you got the brew. You got two choices of what you can do. It's not a tough decision, as you can see. I can blow you away. You can ride with me. I said I ride with you if you can get me to the border. The sheriff's after me for what I did to his daughter. I did it like this. I did it like that. I did it with a wiffle ball bat. So
if we don't wrap this up in 5 minutes, I'm logging off.
There are a lot of words in that song. So if you think we're done, no, ma'am, not by a long shot.
Okay. The Revolutionary War has officially started, and it's sunrise. You know what that means? I don't. Tell me, cartoon. It means it's time to conduct the cricket.
It's time to get ill.
Oh, God. I didn't, you know, walking in the door, I did not think this was going to be the Beastie Boys episode, but here we are.
Here we are.
Intergalactic Planetary. Is it weird that in the Star Trek reboot, they use in canon a Beastie Boys song that references Mr. Spock?
I mean,
how do they make that right in their brains?
He was obviously, Spock was actually named after the character in the Beastie Boys song.
A pinch to the neck. That's an awfully specific reference.
Yeah. Fucking Vulcans. They don't always have that Vulcan nerve pinch, but they're like, dude, that sounds dope as hell. I wonder if I could do that. They practiced, and eventually they got to do it. And then the kid was born and like, what's the name of Spock? I was like, that's kind of on the nose, don't you think? I'm like, baby, if one thing Vulcans are, is on the nose.
I don't want pop culture references in my Star Trek. Is that fair? Is that an okay thing to say?
No.
Just, it feels real weird. Real weird. Anyway, let's look at old pictures, old timey pictures while playing Yankee Doodle. Because we've run out of money. And then it ends with the mouse saying, now do you believe me? Now do you believe me after everything we've been through together? And then we end on the sick snake that I don't much care for. Oh. And yeah, that's it. That's it. That's what we do. We played Yankee Doodle about 72 times. They gave us moments. They gave us undeniable moments. But as far as a top to bottom narrative, as far as a overall viewing experience, this would go on my I would not watch this again list.
Well, I admit that of between this and the Christmas special is better. These guys will tell you when we watch it around Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to do so. Look, the animation was good when they decided to do things that were animated. The voices, you have Mel Blanc. It's brilliant. June Foray, it's brilliant. It's just, it keeps veering off into weird sections that I appreciate for it. But I don't know. It didn't hold together. There's no narrative, really. It's just, they just kept bouncing around. I don't know. I get what it is and that's, but still, I did not enjoy it. Chan, what do you think now that we've laid out all the cards?
I expected to hate it more, but I didn't. I just, like, in the pantheon of this kind of cartoon, it ranks high. Like, almost... I'm going to say second tier, because first tier, you got your
Schoolhouse Duck Rock
line. You got your Donald Duck doing the pool thing. This is not that level, but it's okay. I won't go out of my way to watch it, but I'm okay with it.
Okay. So there you go. Three middling reviews.
Listen,
Chuck Jones's
again. If I saw this in school, I would be into it. If I was like in second grade, it was a rainy day out, and they were like, "We're gonna watch a movie." I'd be like, "Fuck yeah, let's watch that movie."
You know, fair enough. Look, I don't think there's anything I wasn't into. I was into the Phantom Toll Booth. You know, I was watching all the stuff. You wheel in that AV cart, which kids today they may still use them. Let's keep it real. We don't fund education. But when they wheeled it in that AV cart, I was happy. I like screens.
Same.
Big fan of screens. We sometimes worry that my kid gets too many screens. And then I remember that we at least have some rules and limits put on them, and 90% of parents do not. So maybe we're ahead of the curve. And you got Chan over here showing his kid, like, you know, Jaws the Revenge, you know.
Jaws the Revenge? You're talking
Nightmare
about
on Elm like- Street 3. Not even 3, not the good one. He's watching Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. It's, you know, what's he doing?
I mean, fucking Dream Warriors. Come on now.
Dream Warriors is the best one. I mean, I think we can all agree.
It's got dogs.
That one's creepy, in it. Man. Yeah. It's all true. It's all true. And happy birthday, knowing it's half the podcast. And happy birthday, America. You did it. You got one more. You squeezed one more year out of it. We'll see what happens and if you get any more.
Yeah. After those debates, it's a crapshoot.
I mean, it's not. Look, you got one guy who was sick and was spitting facts, but doing so with the lowest energy level physically possible. And you got the other guy who was high on Adderall and just rapid firing absolute nonsense and things that are very provably not
true. Are we done? Why
and
are
that's
we talking
your debate
about this?
Coverage for 2024. Gina, do you have anything you want to pitch before we get out of here?
I want to pitch getting the fuck out of here.
And that's good enough for me. Good night, everybody, and happy Independence Day.
Most still it is. People, I got that feeling because I'm most still letter I'm in and stealing.
Because the plot is very all over the place.
Hold on. Before we continue, I need some clarification on this insect here. I realize what it is now, but I looked away for a moment when I was watching, and I missed what the fuck was going on. Here we go. What is that?
I don't have anything in front of me, Jan. I don't know what you're it's referring coming. To. This is a audio medium.
It will be here. It's coming. What is happening?
Why? You know, the most riveting time in a podcast is when one person tries to send a picture to another to get commentary, and the picture never sends.
Yeah. No, it's great. That's why I'm going to delete all of this.
That's how Serial made 18 seasons.
What the fuck, man? Oh, that'll send, but motherfucking...
That's a heart. That's a green heart. That's not an insect. Is it a heart bug?
Maybe. I don't know. Fuck it. Never mind. I'm just gonna sit with this weirdness.
Okay.
I tell you, I'm going to delete all this. Don't worry about it.
This is all going after
you'll,
the show,
you'll
Chan.
Forget.
You
you'll
better
forget
keep
to delete
all of
it.
This for post-credit sequence. The people need to hear what me and Gina have to deal with. Mm. Right, Gina?
Listen, until we get to the murder of an insect, I'm checked out.
Okay, so real quick, before I was interrupted by nothing, apparently...
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win." Or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast? Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.